As we all know, or as you may or may not know, the most common is still financially motivated, and that comes up in itself in the form of ransomware, right, which you've probably all heard of. Great, so as we jump into tabletop exercises, I'm going to start with, well, what is a tabletop exercise, right? We saw a few people have worked on it here in the past. So tabletops are really a scenario-based exercise, right? It doesn't involve any technical testing. There's no, no hands-on keyboard type of stuff. We're sitting around a table, and we're walking through an exercise of what would happen if an incident hit your organization, right? Traditionally, this has been done with, with government agencies, public health organizations, right, testing out different scenarios. But now we do this a lot more in the private sector, working with organizations, helping them prepare for incidents, right? And I'm not going to read, you guys have all this material, so I'm not going to read through every word, but just kind of highlight some of the key things. The most important thing is the more efficient you respond, right, to an event, the more likely you're going to reduce your risk and impact to the organization, right? Again, as I mentioned, 287 days is what it takes right now on average to identify and contain a breach. The lower we can bring that number down, ideally, the less impact you're going to have, right, at an organizational level. And just like anything else, right, tabletops is a performance, right? It's a practice. The more you practice, the better you're going to be, right? It's pretty simple. Just like anything else, sports, anything else, right? The more you do it, the more acclimated you are to the types of things you have to do, the better you're going to be in that scenario. And a couple things to cover off here, right? So it's meant to be short, right? This is not meant to take like a week of time. You can do this in a pretty compact time frame, a couple hours, mostly 2 to 4 is what we normally do. But it really tests what the individuals that would be part of an incident have to do, right? And we're going to talk about a little bit more of that in detail now. But really want to touch on the objectives, right? So one, increase awareness. A lot of people don't know what would need to happen across all departments if an incident happened, right? And I don't mean just the IT team, because this expands beyond that, but all the different business teams out there, HR, finance, et cetera, they're all involved, or may all be involved in an incident, right? So one of the first things is helping them understand what their role would be in an incident, right? Preparedness, right? Not just understanding your role, but then do I understand what I would need to do in that? And are all the people in the room aware of that, right? And responsibilities. So, and is the incident response plan built into the organization, right? Do we even have one in place? And do people know what to do, right? The first point, the starting point of an incident is someone calling the help desk, right? And saying, hey, I think something went wrong, or submitting a ticket to them, whatever it may be, whatever the mechanism may be. But do people even know that, right? So that's the tip of the spear when we think about an incident. Examining your incident response plan and playbooks, right? Are they effective? Are they built in the right manner so that you can respond effectively, right? For example, does it have the proper steps in there? And do you know who to call when something goes wrong, right? This is all built into, your plans and your playbooks at an organizational level, and now we're testing them, right? Looking for gaps, seeing where someone wouldn't know who to call or wouldn't know what to do if something happened, right, X, Y, Z. We mentioned already structures and responsibilities. So that becomes really important, right? Do we know who makes a decision on a ransomware payment, as an example, right? Is it the CFO? Does it need to escalate to the board? Who makes that decision, right? And a lot of times when we go through these exercises, that's where things fail, right? No one knows who's actually going to raise their hand and make a decision on certain activities. So that becomes really important as we're thinking about, again, going through these exercises. Now, who participates, right? For those that have been in, you've probably been in these rooms and have a lot of people, and there is a lot of people involved, right? First, every tabletop can be flexible in terms of what your objectives are. So meaning we do tabletops that can be very technically focused, right? We really want the IT team to test their skills on what they would do if something happens, right? Do they know, and we talked about this in the last presentation, not to erase the server and the logs, right? Or not to image a server after something's happened because they're trying to get back up and running. No, we need to preserve that evidence, right? We need to preserve that data. So, you can focus on tabletops that are technical in nature. Then you can also focus on those that are executive in nature, right? Just walking through management type of decisions, right? Do they know, for example, someone, from a PR perspective, do you know what you're going to put out there? Do you know what you're going to do if the FBI comes to your door, knocks on your door, says, hey, we know you're having a breach, how can we help, right? Those types of things. Or you can do mixed, right? Either way works. They're all effective and they're all helpful. So we think about, again, the senior leaders. We think about the other teams that would potentially be impacted, like I said, finance, right? HR if data is stolen, your marketing team and your PR team if you had to do anything disclosure-wise and put something out there. But then we also think about your third parties, right? This affects a lot of the people in this room, right? The other individuals that would be part of the process. So, for example, your incident response forensics team. In most cases, that's an outside provider, right? You obviously have your in-house team, but you normally want to have an outside provider come in, do the analysis, help with the remediation, all that kind of stuff. Your external counsel or your data breach coach is someone you may already have identified and built into your plan, but they're normally part of this process. There's also, we have scenarios where we bring in the insurance carriers, right? If you want to say, hey, if this actually happened and we're walking through an incident, what would be covered as part of my policy, right? A lot of people don't know that in many cases, certain types of events are not covered, right? And you want to actually test that out and understand, well what is going to be covered? And then also any of your MSPs, right? If you have outside providers providing IT services or security services or whatever it might be, right? You want to include them because, again, they're going to be affected because it'll be their systems potentially that are part of the actual breach and incident.